three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Tuesday, the 17th of October. After a number of technical faults, we are off. We are off the blocks. We're in the water, semi-nude. We're flying. What are we talking about today? Lots of topics. We're writing off some teams. We're talking about the TV deal that happened in the NBA and how it relates to the NBL. We're talking about Aaron Baines versus Adam Ford. We're talking about which clubs are championships, wait and sees, pretenders, which ones are hopeless. NBA, ex-NBO, we're talking about DJ Vasiljevic. Kenyon, have I forgotten anything?
No, I think you've got it there. Well done. That's pretty good. That's about the fourth time you've said that, and I think this time you got it right. So that's good. You know, practice makes perfect.
No joke. It's like the fifth time. Where do you want to start? Grab that steering wheel with both hands, pal. Where do you want to take it?
Okay. I want to start with Baines and Ford because that's kind of dominated the last couple of weeks while we've been absent on the microphone. So let's clear the decks. Let's get rid of that little topic. Have you seen the leaked video footage?
I have. And a tip of the cap to Matt Logue for getting it.
Yep.
Putting it out, having the balls to address it. Most other outlets let it just sort of, good news story, but it's going to hurt our rep. Let's just not bother with that one. And also Matt Lowe got there first, so people don't really... I watched it. I thought it was funny. Ford bounced off that wall. He didn't seem hurt, so we can laugh.
No.
But he ricocheted. What do you think?
Yeah, it was just a one-arm push, really, wasn't it? I think Baines got it, from what I remember. Yeah, it was just... And Ford smashed into that wall. But tell you what, Baines is a big dude. I've stood next to him. And
massive.
He's just a giant tree. So if he pushed me, I'd go flying further than Adam Ford. So, you know, credit to Ford. It's Bainesy was messed up in that whole situation, wasn't he?
He was out of bounds, pardon the pun.
He had the crazy eyes on court, then he's like carrying on off court.
Just wouldn't let it go. Just couldn't let it go.
And you sort of think, what was so bad? Like, that was... So anyway, who knows?
You make a good point there. What was so bad? And it's where it got to a point where the elbow was a bit vicious. I'm not discrediting, who was it?
Latman. Yeah,
Latman.
Latman.
I merged the two. Man. Latman. The elbow was definitely vicious. It was at the face. It was going for it. Didn't really connect. Not a lot of damage, but the intent was behind it. But Baines just couldn't stop himself. He just kept pursuing it and couldn't let it go. It was a bad look, and he got 5 weeks for it. I think that's about right. That's sort of a sixth of the season. You can't go after another head coach after so much time has passed between the initial attack and then the follow-up and then another follow-up in the tunnel. There's nothing Ford seemed to say on that occasion that warranted that. Baines lost his head.
Yep.
And what's worse is when he signed a deal back in the NBA on a two-year deal, it was this sort of, he's getting a bit of money also for being this like brand basketball ambassador or something. I was like, he's had last season where he barely played poorly, and the team was a off-court mess, and now this fiasco. So I don't know. I don't think basketball is the best place for Baines to be these days.
I think maybe he should.
It's not a happy place.
No. I think he's just too many demons. Maybe give it away, Bainesy. But let me ask you this. What was worse, the Baines-Adam Ford incident or the Matt Hodgson slap across the chops to DJ Vasiljevic?
Baines. Baines because I really felt that Hodgson, there wasn't the physical, there just wasn't the repeated attempts to engage the enemy. And that Hodgson got annoyed, got irritated, slapped a guy in the face. You're never going to hurt a guy too much by slapping him. And then secondly, kind of a little bit of pushy-pushy, and that was it. Walked off the court, ended it.
Yeah,
Baines just was insatiable, would not stop until he got what he wanted. And he sort of got what he wanted, I suppose. Hard to tell.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think there's something about it going off court. And so it's almost like it's almost that the in the rec leagues, it's like, I'll meet you in the car park. You know, it's got.
But it's also a different person. Like, it went from Latman. Okay, guy tried to elbow me in the face. Sure, try and punch him. That makes total sense. It's wrong, but it makes sense. But then to just carry that aggression, all right, who's closest next? All right, Ford. He'll do.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's mental.
Bit unhinged. Do you know who else is unhinged? I don't know who this guy is, but Stu Lash. Man, Brisbane Bullets, he came out and just absolutely flogged Ford.
But here's the thing. He would have been told by Baines, like, I didn't do anything. He was in my face, da-da-da-da-da. And he's acted on that, and then he's thought, like when a player's like, no, I didn't touch him. Review it. And they review it, and he's clearly clubbing the guy.
I've never heard of this Stu Lash guy, and I tell you what, I hope I never hear from him again because he's made a massive pork job of himself.
I hope I do hear from him again because great name. Stu sounds like a thick soup. Lash. Kind of slash. He'd be slash in initials with a first name and last name. I kind of liked him.
Yeah, well, Brisbane. So how do you think you're going to do without Baines? So far, not so great.
So far, not so great, but I don't think he's a huge part of their success last year. I think he'll be a bit of a hit. They get a lot smaller and a lot younger and a lot thinner. So yes and no. I mean, it's such a lame answer, but I'm going to have to wait and see.
Fair enough. He'll be back.
Where do you want to go next? Do you want to write some teams off?
Yeah, let's write some teams off.
Are we just complete? Because we want to talk about Tacomas. Hawks and 36ers, now that DJ has signed there, we'll bring in DJ in a bit, Vasiljevic. Are you willing to put, even with Vasiljevic, are you willing to put a line through both Illawarra and Adelaide 36ers?
Absolutely. Those two teams don't even bother. I feel sorry for the players. They're going to go through 28 games of this. Knowing that they're just already knowing they're nothing. I sort of looked at it and it made me think, are Illawarra actually worse than Adelaide?
They are.
The eye test suggests that they are. I would agree because they're just running up and shooting first shot that appears, even if it's not
a shot. The lack of three-point defense is pitiful. I mean, guys are so wide open every time. You think the numbers say something. The eye test says one thing. You think the numbers say something else.
Yeah, well, I looked at Spatial Jam, looking for statistical analysis. And I was like, Adelaide are worse than Illawarra in virtually every team-based category. In terms of the statistics. I just think looking at them, I feel like Illawarra just look disgusting. They look like a team that isn't even trying to be a coached team. They're just running
the lack
up.
Of yeah.
It's jungle ball. They're just running up, shooting anything, a couple of random passes, jack it up, run back, play a bit of soft zone defense. Until they can get the ball back out of the hoop. And
the total lack of three-point defense is just, it's flat-footed and lazy. They're such a black spot, both of them, but especially Illawarra. What's the strength of schedule been for Illawarra? Because they have played Sydney. They have played, that's about the only good team they have played.
Yeah.
They got a win over Southeast Melbourne, and then they played each other and Adelaide won, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So
not good. DJ, let's talk about that quickly. He signed with Adelaide. He doesn't move the needle for you at all?
Look, he doesn't hurt. But I don't think he gives them what they were lacking.
Just for the people at home.
He wasn't that 13.4, great last season.
Yeah, well, I was about to say 13.4 points per game last year, 36% from the outside. Like they're numbers that. He come out. He has a gravity at the very least. I mean, Adelaide are terrible from the outside.
Yep.
People don't like to mention it, but Jason Kadee's percentage is in the toilet. I don't even know on that team who has really is a threat from the outside. So I actually think he makes the most sense on them than anyone else. I was looking around. I was thinking, what top team would want him? I'm like, a lot of teams would like him, but want or need probably too strong. You say Melbourne, Golding kind of got him covered.
Yeah, don't need it.
Perth, they kind of got cotton. They actually need more of a ball handler, distributor. Who's another good team that's up and around there? Tasmania, you wouldn't want to disrupt their chemistry, I don't think.
No.
So you're like, no. Southeast Melbourne, maybe?
Phoenix might take them, yeah. Yeah, that's about it, really. New Zealand, probably not.
But he does slot nicely into Adelaide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the last roll of the dice for this Adelaide team, though. If he doesn't create W's for this team, just Yeah, and I just don't see how he's going to starch up their defense enough. How he's going to create a more flowing offense. Like he's an end of the offense shooter. But is that what they need?
I think he gets them off the very bottom. I think they leapfrog Illawarra, but anyone else? Cans if guys don't get healthy. They've had that NBA trip and maybe they stay really unhealthy and, you know, bunged up all year, then they could maybe jump them, but yeah. This doesn't catapult them into the top four or even the top six.
Not even close.
Now, speaking of DJ, we have to talk about this. This is a taking it to the tweets.
Tweets.
Because you've seen this, Nick Tan on Twitter amazingly catalogued this in September of last year. Did you see this? It wasn't a tweet. It was actually an Instagram post.
Yeah. What he said about I've got it written here. Yeah.
I've got it written here. Terrible organisation. This is DJ Vucevic on the Adelaide 36ers in September of last year. Terrible organisation. Want to spend money on the wrong players and then cut the good ones. Just note some local players on that roster make more than those who actually help their team to championships. Now deleted. But what do you think about that? I mean,
Mitch McCarron's never going to pass him the ball.
And then to say all that shit and then take their money. It's like it's in the Simpsons. You know, Homer's like, Mr. Plow is like, all right, you're late. Like, I'll take your money, but I'm not going to plow your driveway. Like, you can't say this shit and then take their money. I'm sorry. This is so embarrassing for the club, especially, and Vucevic also.
And he took the post down, didn't he? So, like, come on. If you say something, stand by it. Stand by it.
And also, I hate to put too much of a sort of philosophical spin on this, but had that horrible incident after hitting that big shot in Tasmania to win the title, gives all this thing about, oh, people should be careful on Twitter what they say. Don't say what you don't mean to. And then you go and do this. Yeah. It's like, no, you can't do both. I hate to, it's a long bow to draw, but I'm like, at least he should have just kept it on. Say, yeah, I said that at the time and I meant it at the time, but, you know, when the facts change, so does my opinion or something like that. But then to delete it, it'd be very interesting to see who else comments on this because I think it's hysterical. I like DJ Vucevic as a player. I think he's really, really good. And he will help Adelaide and he's a nice sort of boomers fringe guy. But this was the finest moment. Good Lord. Slag off your employer and then take the free lunch. Wow.
The internet always keeps receipts, DJ. Just got to be careful.
Speaking of taking it to the tweets, I just want to quickly get this one out there. Senator Briggs is a guy, I think he's a musician, put out this one, and I'm paraphrasing, but Brett Ralph of Melbourne United donated 75K to the No campaign. I think Melbourne United have their Indigenous round in round 11. And that's going to be, what's more awkward, that or when Vucevic suits up for Adelaide?
It's kind of... Yeah, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Like,
there's never been any clarification, and there won't be. It'll just skim along.
No, they'll say
that's a bad look.
They'll say he did that in his, you know, private citizen or his own private company, not under the banner of Melbourne United. Yada yada.
It's
not a great look.
Sour taste. Sour taste in my mouth. You got a sour taste in your mouth?
I have a very sour taste in my mouth.
Well, you've put a sour taste in Canyon's mouth. And when you put something in our mouths, we put something in yours.
Do you know who else puts a sour taste in my mouth? Or what else?
Who's that?
Jacob Jacquemus is coaching.
Going back to Illawarra. Yeah.
I have to just finish this. I just have to finish this.
Like, yeah, sorry.
I have grave concerns for this dude. Last year, he had a team that was banged up. A lot of turnover. And sort of everybody gave him a pass, mm-hmm. Mark. Okay. This season, he's come around again. He's got a much better team, got the players that he wanted, and they don't look like they care. They're not coached. It's jungle ball. He's calling substitutions at random. He doesn't seem...
Nine players in the game in the first 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Six.
I just think you've got to look at it and say, is this guy, like, might be a nice guy, but is he really cut out to be an NBL head coach? And if it wasn't like the plucky Illawarra Hawks, would he still have a job? If he was coaching Melbourne United, they've got form. You know, they've in the past, they've gotten rid of coaches. Like, I just don't know how he's into his second season and there's not more rumblings about getting rid of this dude.
I'm willing to say that looking at it practically, you said it best. Last year was a write-off, lots of injuries. Gorgian had left. They needed some sort of stability. That I understood.
Yeah.
But I think we've seen enough where it's like, I'll give them to 7 games. That's a quarter of the year. That's when you know, like, all right, maybe you've had a few. Everyone's got injuries.
Yeah.
Melbourne have injuries. Perth have injuries. Everyone's got injuries. They still kind of maintain. Sydney's got injuries. They haven't had DJ Hoke. Everyone's got injuries. It's you look on the court and you're like, there is no discernible strategy game to game. And some days they'll put up big scores and sometimes they won't. And sometimes they'll kind of play D and sometimes they just totally won't. Where's the consistent coaching? At least the team is like, okay, we're bad, but we're bad in this way. Or maybe we could win a game in this fashion. There is no fashion. There's nothing there. So, yeah, I think he was a weird hire where he didn't have a heck of a lot of experience before Gorgian got there, was an assistant to Gorgian. That would be the easiest job in the world. Like, shh, quiet, Gorgian, do whatever he says. He's done it for 50 years. Pretty easy spot. And now has come in and probably going to struggle.
Yeah.
You're right when you say it. I mean, what I find funny is people out there, this is for people beyond basketball, if you're in your workplace, this is how you know the world's broken. Here are NBL clubs walking around like, yeah, we're trying to win the championship and we're a serious company. Trevor Gleason's on the sideline. Any team at the moment can go, Trevor Gleason, sorry, head coach X, whoever you are, you're fired. We're bringing in the best guy because our members want to win and we want to be a good team to our fans.
Yep.
That's what a real business would do. They don't do it. At any moment, they probably don't have the money to do it, but I'm just saying, that's how you know the world's broken, because you would have thought every team would be, if they were true to their fans, they'd be knifing their head coach for Gleason. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely right. Speaking of which, that's a nice segue to another coach that perhaps should be knifed, and that's John Rilley of the Perth Wildcats.
I've got a whole deep dive on this.
Yeah. A team playing jungle ball and just chucking shots up. Well, that is this.
Can I prefix this? Are you hitting the alarm? They're 2-3. They played 5 games. I like to wait till 7 games in, quarter of the season, to make these pronouncements.
Yep.
But if I put an alarm in front of you, are you hitting the button?
I'm bashing it like his giant sail, the century button, the big red dome.
Okay.
Boom. Yep. We got problems. Perth Wildcats, you are cooked already. If you don't make some massive changes, you are done.
Can I just hold you up there? And I'm going to give you the good with the bad. Their 3 losses have come against Southeast Melbourne, who we agree are kind of upper middle table, 4-6.
Yep.
Melbourne, who you think they're a title favourite, and Sydney.
Yep.
That's their 3 losses. Their 2 wins have come against Tasmania, a team I put at the very top 2 team, and then Adelaide. That's probably a given. I didn't actually note which games were at home or not. That doesn't change your thinking at all. I mean, they've lost the 3 really good teams.
No, cool.
Two really good teams.
So they might make it to the finals and then get beaten by those teams. Like, no. Yeah, exactly. And they just look, even when, like, they just look ordinary. They're not a good team. It's a team full of dudes in it for themselves. They don't play defense. And
their basketball
IQ is extraordinarily low.
Well, here are some stats for your ass. Offensive rating, 5th in the league. Defensive rating, 8th in the league. Rebounding percentage, have a guess where they're at in the league.
Second last.
Dead last.
Oh.
So they've obviously played a lot of games. But here's why I'm also hitting the alarm. A little bit premature, but I'm hitting it. Doolittle's hurt and the injury looked bad.
Yep.
Secondly, it's not an alarm of, oh, this team's going to finish last. We know they're going to be better than Adelaide, Brisbane, Illawarra. We know that.
Yep.
But this is the Perth Wildcats, 10,000 members, big club, 36 years of the finals. Well, until recently, had that 35, whatever it was, snuffed out.
Yep.
This is a team that needs to be in the top 4 every year. This is not a drafting league where you kind of build a team and get bad. This is a team where you can have sustained success because of the way the structure is.
Yep.
If Perth are not at least, and just the as you say, the optics on court are so bad. The same, they've had all new personnel, exactly the same problems. They don't play D and they don't rebound. And Gleason and Damian Martin were on the commentary. They could barely contain themselves. When I think it was against Melbourne, they just gave up they were sort of arguing about a play Melbourne just inbounded it, laid it up.
Yep.
And Gleason was like, and Damian Martin goes something like, oh, wow. That's happened and no one's really caring. I mean, if you did that when Gleason was coach, you know, he'd have your nads.
Yeah, yeah.
So, It's just, and so you're pointing at it really predominantly or exclusively?
I'm pointing it in two different directions. I'm pointing it at Rilly because he's got no, doesn't seem to have any gravitas or strength over this this playing group. And he's not running any, like, what are his sets actually delivering? They're just delivering random shots and they're giving nothing. And the defense is terrible. So I'm putting all of that on him. I'm putting roster construction onto Danny Mills because once
again... What don't you like about the roster? Because in the preseason, I think you went the over on the roster.
Yeah, I know, but the eye test is... Like, I've never been a fan of the Websters. I don't see why you would ever sign those guys. I'm so hard out on both of those dudes. It's not funny. Usher,
Corey, I've got more time for. Corey.
I can see why, but...
But he's been given too much leash. Sorry, I'm interrupting. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's, and you're right. And that goes back to Rilly. So, but Usher came in talking defensive player of the year. His defense is terrible. And
terrible.
His offense is, it's hit or miss, you know, like, but none of those shots are particularly great shots. Some just happen to go in. And every time he takes a shot, the amount of long twos this dude takes after a dribble move, it's ridiculous when you've got Bryce Cotton just being iced.
It's iced, cold. It's brutal to watch.
Yeah.
It's sad. And I just think, I look at this roster and I go, Saar is better than I had thought. I actually really like Alex Saar. I think he's a really good player.
Yep.
Pinder is a little bit reckless. We were talking about this kind of off air with friends. Pinder is reckless, but he can do so much. He's athletic. He's a four. There's so few good fours. He's a good player. Doolittle, good body, got hurt. Still kind of hard to tell.
Mm.
Jordan Usher is a capable athlete and player. I like him. And then Bryce Cotton. What you get out of the Websters is a bit of trick or treat. And then Hyrum Harris, who barely plays. I thought he was going to be their seventh man, you know, and Wagstaff was basically not going to play. But I think that's a roster where, if coached well, they're a winning team. So I'm putting this on really, and as I said before, different team, same problems, almost identical. The same stuff you're seeing last year, you're seeing again. And I look at, but where it's intensified and got worse is Cotton's not happy, and you can tell. And it's all these things banking up where the citizenship thing falls apart. That's got to be frustrating. All this change, all these new players, guys taking your shots. He's frustrated on the court. He can't even contain it. And, you know, speaking to people who are at the court, they can just see him yapping at teammates, and he's not the same Bryce Cotton. And you can see it in the telecast.
Yeah,
you can see it.
The team that he joined is no longer it's no longer the same team. You know, like
not even close.
The whole organization has moved in a different direction, and he and Jesse Wagstaff are the last holdouts of what it used to be. And I don't think he's happy. And Perth Wildcats need to be careful that he doesn't look to greener pastures.
Mm. Well, really, he's in year two of three. Cotton's there until only the end of next season, where he'll be 32 years old. And that's where you're kind of like, you know, I'm going to sign a longer deal to 35 when you're probably done.
Yep.
And he's going to like, do I want to do it here in Perth? And he might say, he's alive, maybe.
Yeah.
Or he might go, no, I want to squeeze some more get some more juice out of the lemon. And I get that. Just looking at his numbers this year. Last season, 23 per game, down to 16, 41% from the field, down to 36. And this is the big one for me. Assists are about the same. This is the big one for me, and this is the problem. 7 free throw attempts per game last year, down to only 3 this year. This is Bryce Cotton, king of the catch, fake, jump into the guy, get 3 foul shots. He used to do that all the time. Hasn't done it once in 5 games.
Yeah.
I don't think anyway. I mean, maybe I'm mistaken. And that's the difference. Everything's off the bounce for Cotton now. There's nothing where he comes off 2 screens, catch, straightaway fires, or comes off something, catch, pump fake, 1 dribble, or that crazy 1 dribble, then the huge snap back, step back. There's none of that. It's all ball, pinballs around, finally comes to him, and he has to lay down 6 dribbles before he can do anything.
Yeah.
It's not his game. And really, and whenever they do run a little sort of horns action for him, hate to get too technical, and I probably just said that out of turn, but, you know, like, they give him 2 down screens and he runs up to the top of the 3-point line, scored great. And they just do it so seldom. Yeah. So that's on really, and the alarm is hit.
I'm sure he misses the stagger screens and the curl cut for an open 3.
We're all massaging ourselves now. Now, we've got 9 minutes left. Is that correct?
Yeah, because we've had all these recording troubles. We're using a different method. We're using Zoom. I'm too much of a cheapskate to pay for the account. So we've got 9 minutes.
All right. Where do you want to go? Shit. Oh, man, now we're under pressure. Sydney Kings. They're 4-1. They've beaten Illawarra, Adelaide, Brisbane, Perth. Are they as good as you think? They're third in offensive rating, second in defensive rating, first in pace. Are they, what do you think?
They're the team to beat. They're the potential champions already. They've still got DJ Hoag to slot back in. Bolden is way ahead of where we thought he'd be. And the coach looks to be an absolute jet. So lock them away. I'm putting them in the finals, grand final now.
Oh, they're top four. Top two. I mean, Melbourne, their defense is out of sight. I want to make one criticism. First in three-point attempts per 40 minutes, that's 35 a game. They blaze from the outside, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but the day it's off is the day it's off. Turnover prone, 14.9 points per game, third highest behind Cairns and New Zealand, who are both played barely any games. My one criticism of this team is Denzel Valentine. 57 points scored, 36 from the three-point line, only 6 free throws in 142 minutes. Turnover to assist ratio, not great, 27-16. To put that in perspective, he's taken 6 free throws. Craig Moller has taken 6 free throws in 57 minutes less than Denzel Valentine. That's like almost one and a half game, full games of time. My question is, when Hoag returns, does that perimeter get a little bit squeezed because they're both just standing out there looking to fire?
That's the excellent question. I was going to say, I'm okay with those stats now. I'm not okay with that if Hoag is back. That's where Valentine's got to find a new way to add value to
the
team.
He just doesn't attack the hoop. They've lost a lot of dynamism. Glover's not quite having the same year. Yep. They've lost a little attack of the hoop. Jalen Adams is going to have to make up for that. That's where we're going.
Yeah, but don't forget Galloway as well. Galloway has been super impressive.
True. Touche.
He's been really athletic, and I think he's looking good. He's looking like better than I expected him to be.
I'm going to move on fast because we've got 7 minutes. NBA x NBL. Thumbs up, thumbs down from you.
Big thumbs down. I've even been forgetting it's been on.
On this campaign for the future.
Well, this campaign's been a total disaster. Oh. I think they need to park the whole thing for a few years and get people excited about it again. I think the novelty is well and truly worn off, and especially when it's mid-season. It's weird, and it's unfair on these teams.
Yeah, or send a select team.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an actual... it's just the NBL logo, not Cairns Taipans. Your team's getting crushed. And I think that loss a couple of years ago, I think the USA and the NBA teams have taken a hit, all this sort of, championship of the world shit, all that talk, and then the World Cup loss of the NBA guys, and then the loss in the NBA to the NBL with the Randall team. I think they've gone, no, not anymore. And they've absolutely smacked these teams. Having said that, Cairns have been very hurt, and New Zealand were closer today against whoever they played. It's really irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly. And there's my point, right? Against whoever they played, and who cares,
The coverage has been atrocious. Yeah. Haven't even been on telly.
So why bother?
One was on TV, I think.
This speaks so expensive.
I think it's got a future in the your players, like your guys get to play on NBA courts and stuff. It's very good for the players. It's a really cool thing. But you have to just show a little bit of clout and be like, no, we're not going to play at that time. We're going to do something differently. Shai Ili was on a major shooting slump, 5 of 31 before 14 points, 3 of 7 in the most recent game. I'm just firing through stuff.
He was really good in the World Championships, and then just seems like he left his jump shot over there.
Oh, 5 of 31 through however many games they played, 4 or 5. Crazy. Let's move to this one. I want to quickly talk about the TV deal. The NBL TV deal is up at the end of the year. You're going to start seeing all the sort of, data reach, audience reach is up, potential.
Yeah.
Please re-sign us to another deal.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about this in the sense of the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. Those owners have basically taken their rights off of Foxtel and the Foxtel equivalents over there and own their own rights so that now people in those areas can just get a pair of rabbit ears and tune into their games. It's really innovative. It's a real risk. Mm. So they leave about $20 million on the table doing it, but it means they have full control of their rights. And what that means is instead of only showing it to the million or so people in that quadrant of the USA that has Fox or the cable, they now can give it to everyone. And I think the NBL, and certainly someone like Paul Smith of Sydney who loves a risk, needs to do something like this, because right now they've got the games on ESPN and Foxtel. No one's got that crap. No one's got Foxtel anymore unless they're over 50. So I'd say take back your local rights, and that way you, you know, instead of getting a million subscribers across Australia, you get a chance to pump it to everyone in your municipality.
Yeah.
I'm speaking quick because we're running out of time, but yeah, I just wanted to say that and get that out there.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, back when basketball was in the doldrums, I remember Perth had that for a couple of years. It was some local deal with Channel 7 or something. I remember bloody Basil Zemplis on the commentary. It was like disgusting. But yeah, so it can be done. I just don't see a Kesselman-owned league authorizing that. He's so centralized, you know. It's like everything's got to be for the brand.
I don't know what the rights are like. And you make a good point. And this is to sort of shift off. Like this year, especially, I've noticed that there is so little vested interest between the clubs and the league. The league is going on its sort of expansion next stars trip.
Yeah.
And the clubs are kind of like, we're trying to win the season with our best season players like Cotton and Adams. We don't constantly want to hear about, you know, some kid's 12 points off the bench. the two are really diverging.
Yeah.
I hate to be harsh, but I think it's really cynical.
Yep.
And I like the league, and I know that's where they make their money, and I get it. But what I'm saying is the divergence in invested interest, club and league working together, it's never been further apart. And Chris Pongrass's comments today about contracts don't protect players and the club to have that relationship, I think it's really unhealthy. Sorry to take the microphone so much. What do you think?
No, you're right. And I think all this next star stuff sort of damages the integrity of the league. It starts to become too much too much sizzle and not enough steak. If you've got all these like little, what's going on? You know, it's like we're playing the NBA teams and now we've got next stars and we got this and that. It's like, can we just have teams trying to win? Like it used to be like a competitive league.
A healthy balance is key. But right now the mix is off, recipe's off, and it's actually getting my dander up a little bit.
Mine too. Quite a bit. Mine too. My dander. I'm just checking my dander and it's up.
Hang on, can I have a quick look at mine? It's sitting on my shoulder. It's like a parrot. I'm like a pirate right now. Arr.
Arr, me dander.
Tanda. That's the name of the episode. That's happening. Listen, that's all the one thing I'll say is this. They're trying to get a new TV deal and Melbourne United get all these games and they're so disgusting to watch. They're these pound it down. We haven't talked about it yet, but that first game of the year was so bad. Oh, it was gross. So I'm like, this is a hard TV product to sell when they have to.
Oh, man. But never mind. Yeah. They'll still get all the Melbourne players to commentate and the Melbourne teams there.
Southeast Melbourne, anyway. That's the Jam TV deal with Maguire's company.
Yeah, scammy. We got just over a minute left. I have got to say I was going to say something really good. Now I've forgotten it because you go ahead. Damn it.
You don't have anything? Well, I'll just...
That's what I was going to say. It was in-game commentary. That's where I was going with that. I like it. It's like they figured out that having commentary teams in the stadium makes for a better product.
Yeah. Just, I wonder who's providing this. I mean, having said that, I work at Fox Sports in North Sydney. They often have the NRL guys commentating games from there instead of heading to Penrith, you know, not far from. So the idea of not doing it in the stadium is not specific to the NBL. It's a cost-saving measure, but now they've found another way to do it. And yes, it is better. And it meant more John Casey, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. So that's the NBL Pocket Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Apologies for the crappy, rushy
situation. We will get our shit together, won't we, Joe?
Yeah, we will. We're looking at Riverside. It's a busy time. It's a busy time for all of us. But we love you, the patrons out there especially. And take great care. And Canyon, you've got the final word.
Boom shakalaka.
By the way, Tasmania, Melbourne, I think of champs. Wait and sees on Sydney. Perth are pretenders. As a Southeast Melbourne, hopeless. Hawks in Adelaide. Canyon probably agrees as well. New Zealand Cairns, they barely played.
Sounds good. I agree. I'm waiting for this thing to run out. I like that summary. Yeah. That was really good.